Good morning. Lessons on the playground, the teacher's role. And before I get started, I want to ask you if you have any specific questions that you want to make sure get answered or covered today. Is there anything you're hoping I'm going to touch on? Any area or... Because I want to make sure I do justice to that. This is a workshop, so I'll be asking for input. My experience is mostly 7 to 10, a little bit of 5 to 10, teaching grades 5 to 10. And the last couple of years, only 9 and 10. So I find myself sharing, of course, my experience. So as you need to, speak up and flesh it out for younger grades. All right, well, let's get started. Brother Joseph glanced at his watch. 2 more minutes till recess is over, he mused. See what exciting action I can stir up till then. He trotted off the base and proceeded confidently into enemy territory. Get Brother Joseph, yelled an observant opponent. Randall eased out of base, traveling the opposite direction. Suddenly, he turned and raced toward Brother Joseph, who was busy scanning other scenery. Watch out, someone screamed as Brother Joseph whirled around. Too late, he gave his engine full throttle. The gap between predator and prey narrowed. Randall was making headway, but Brother Joseph was quick on his feet, too. Oh, no, he gasped frantically to himself. How dumb am I to not see him coming? I just can't let him catch me. How silly I will look to my students. Just then a thought flashed into his mind. Those 2 minutes, I think they're over. With that, he shouted, time to go in. The dark look Randall gave him and the furtive whispers of the opposing team bothered him, but he cleared it all up by announcing to the class, it was time to go in, actually. Now, can you identify some problems? This is, as I take it, a true story. I fleshed it out, but, okay? That makes me really angry. But anyway, what problems did Joseph, Brother Joseph, have here? Okay, we could talk about that. All right. It doesn't work for different recess times. That's one disadvantage, but yeah. All right. What else? He can't stand to lose. But, like, shouldn't the teacher be, like, the best player? Because he's the example. All right. What other mistakes did he make? To be fair, I've had more time to think about it. He seems, at least in my mind, he seems to have a higher view of his own abilities than his students. I'm going to go stir up some action. Nothing's happening. No, we need to do that, but so on. Well, we'll cover that story later on or a little bit more. Is this topic meant to be lessons on the playground? Is it lessons for students? Or is it lessons for teachers? Well, after some thought and some consultation, I concluded that those two can hardly be separated. So in this workshop, we'll consider kind of a mix of lessons for teachers and students alike. I have 7 lessons for today. And I just invite you to fill in wherever. Don't feel bad to interrupt. All right. Number one, I have titled Plan Your Recess. How do you plan your recess? Let's get some ideas. Okay. We'll talk about that later on. All right. How do you plan your recess, ladies? Go outside and it just kind of, it's evolution out there. It just kind of figures itself out. How many of you decide what you will play before you go out? Okay. How many pick hitters before you go out? All right. How many appoint someone to set up the game? Okay, that's an interesting idea. I talked a little bit about that, but I heard that being used in a younger classroom where they will have a couple students appointed to set up. I think that's good. One thing, having transitioned to Fairhaven School, which is a larger school, I had to learn to work with multiple classes playing on the same area, and then we have a staggered recess schedule, and hence the buzzer system not being an option, really. But anyway, knowing where to play is sometimes an issue. We think we know where to play. At least for me, it was some getting used to that where I want to play is busy. And where I want to play is going to be busy both recess schedules. I can't even adjust my schedule. And where I may play is too muddy. And where I could play is not ideal. So, oh my, what do we do? Conflict between teachers about playing arrangements and sudden playing area changes. Oh, I guess we're not going to play there because the other classes. Sudden changes are unnecessary and very unhelpful. So we need to know where we play, where and what to play, where to play. Try pointing hitters right away. If you don't, set up the game. Another one I think is important is to make sure everybody knows the rules of the game. Different people play things a little different. Now, a certain school will have their way of perhaps of playing. A certain teacher will have his way of playing this game. And there's certainly some latitude for that. For our school this year, it's kind of a breakout year for soccer. Soccer was like the worst game in the world for many generations. And suddenly this year, we've learned to play soccer. And it helps to have a soccer-loving Ukrainian student in the class. And so that's a bit of an incentive. We want to play something he enjoys. He wouldn't let us have any rest last year because we never played soccer once. When he was there, or actually through the whole year, so we had to learn the rules. How do you play soccer? We just went and played soccer. Well, how do you play soccer? Well, you just kick the ball over there, and then somebody goes running way over there, and they kick the ball back, and then it goes to the field, and you just go and kick it out where, you know, however the best way. No. There's got to be boundaries. Yeah, don't you know that? And the list goes on. How do you start a game? This is how we started in school. No, this is how we started in Ukraine. This is how you must start it. Some people don't know how to play. Some think they do. And the ones that actually do are too unsure to say anything. Be the teacher. Go inside. Do your research. Figure it out. Ask questions. Every school makes adaptations to the game. Hey, we're going to, this is not the technical rules, but this is how we will play. You know, avoid a certain situation or so on. We have our hockey goals. We just got new ones made, but if you're interested, you let me know. But they're only a foot high, all right? We don't play dressed other than maybe shin pads or something, but we made them 8 feet wide, so it's a little easier to score. If it's just a 6 foot net, that's only 1 foot high, it's pretty easy to stop. So we made different nets. We had longer ones before, but they were breaking. So that's an adaptation that we made. It's a lower net, but it's a longer net. Another thing to consider is to play as students advance through the school. You know, maybe there is a way to play a game more or less similar so that there's not conflict or huge changes from class to class. So we were playing one day last year, we were playing baseball, which is not baseball, it's actually softball, sort of, right, adaptation. Anyway, and we decided to play with grade 7 and 8. Now, Brother Opp is not here, the grade 7 and 8 teacher, and so I will speak. And I was pitching, and he was on the other team, and someone did a big hit. Oh, we're on the base. Hey, he never touched first. Went all the way home. I said, well, he never touched first. Brother Rob said, that's fine. I said, what? It's not fine. Well, you don't have to get actually touch the bases. You can just get close. I said, well, what about home? Do you have to touch home? This is in front of the students. We were just kind of having, I was just blown away. So, if you don't have to touch first, anyway, it was probably too dramatic. But anyway, you know, there are maybe some benefits. And we talked about it afterwards. Shall we maybe come up with a plan if this is how we will all play baseball? I don't know. We haven't actually done anything about it yet, but there might be some value there. There are definitely some frustrations that could happen. Any other comments on planning recess? All right. So is that done a week at a time, or?
I think so.
All right. That's an interesting idea. Plan it out as a school, then you know you won't overlap. You know what you're playing in. Mm-hmm. Anything else? Well, Ike, I'd be interested in hearing how you do your games committee. Why don't you tell us about it?
I just have two students that, for their job, that's their job. Each day, every job, for 2 weeks. So
okay.
Each day, they plan the game for the next day, plan the teams.
They do that both the day before? Okay. So they will do that while the others are doing the jobs at 3:20 or whatever. Okay. All right. I do something like that too. It's been tremendously helpful. I did it. Morningstar, I think I did it. One person at a time could pick and get the game going with a few more students. And only teaching 9 and 10, I kind of opened it up and said, you're big enough to decide, you're big enough to make it happen. Sometimes I have visitors I want to talk to. Sometimes I have other things going on. I don't always make it out right away. We'll talk about that later. But anyway, they decide. I do it for a week at a time. It's usually a boy and a girl. And it's not as elaborate as yours. It's usually a game time decision for them. Maybe there'd be some room for improvement there. For me, they decide the details. I found it. The first year I was teaching at Fairhaven, there were some students that weren't used to it, and there were some that were used to kind of having their way. Just, you know, the loudest voice wins. And so they would just kind of try to run the show, which is fine. If you're the games committee, you run the show. Set up the game. Get everybody going. Say when it's time to start. I head outside. You tell me. You're in charge. Now, there will be some things, of course, that I stay in charge. No, that's off bounds. You can't go there. Or other things. I can't think of a good one right now. But anyway, they pick the hitters. They pick details. They lead out. The ones that are good at leading out have a chance to practice being good followers. All right? Volleyball is done. We got to switch sides. Who goes where? All right. Oh, let's just do this and let's do that. No, you're not games committee. You let them do it. You shut your mouth. You know, some of us find it really easy to open it. But shut your mouth and let him do it, all right? Oh, it's time to renumber. Just be quiet. Let him figure it out, all right? Anyway, so we had to do a little bit of teaching. How to lead and how to follow. And it gives me a chance to show them what it's like to follow, because I don't number the teams. I don't say where they should go, so on. I do give them a bit of direction. One thing I say is that you may not play one game more than 3 times in a week, just because it's being proactive. If it might be the greatest game for 10 months, and then it goes sour, and somebody gets too upset, and it gets into a variety of games. Different people like to play different things, and I make exceptions for that if it's hockey, of course, or rink season, or, you know, for a good sport like volleyball or baseball, we'll probably make some exceptions, but we're not going to play King's Base till everybody is sick of it, and then never want to play it again in your life. All right. You have any stories to tell us, good or bad, about your games committee?
Not really. I just started it this year.
Okay.
And I really like it. It relieves me of that responsibility. Somebody up there. But that I'm up there to get things started.
Right. It also relieves us of the responsibility of picking the game and taking the flack that comes with it. Because sometimes, and there'll be sometimes where I will pick a game, or I'm thinking about it anyway. Hey, we're going to play this today, okay? I'm going to override it and say, or tomorrow we're going to play with another class, and I'll just, I still reserve the right to override. Some of the boys are thinking about setting up volleyball already. Because, you know, it's warm. No, we're not going to set up volleyball yet. They don't have that much latitude. All right. Well, another thing to remember, I think, with regards to recess is to dismiss on time. If you have a bell system, that's great. It reminds you. I remember as a student closing my book at 3 minutes till recess time because it really wasn't worth doing anything more. And then being reminded by my teacher, hey, you know, get your books back out. I didn't say it's recess time yet. No, and that was fine. I can respect him for it. I've done it to students. No, you don't tell me when it's time. I tell you. But if it's over recess time, then well, you're right. We better, if we have a scheduled recess time, we want them to come in promptly. Let's let them go out promptly. Play a variety of games. We're still all number one, but getting out for recess. Play a variety. Teach your students a new game. When your students learn to play a new game, it puts everybody on the same level. Everybody's as dumb as everybody else, you know. Nobody's honed their skills to perfection yet. Everybody's learning. Hopefully the teacher knows. It teaches learning, or encourages learning, even on the playground. It's good for your brain. Teaches you to be flexible, and not always having to play these certain games. You might have to push through. We just introduced double dodgeball to some of the classes because of this kind of winter we're having. We need something else, so we purchased some dodgeballs and introduced double dodgeball for them. And it's going to take a little bit of pushing to get it to actually be a game they enjoy, I think. But we'll try it. Anything else about point number one that you want to share? Planning recess. All right, let's go on to number two. Go out and get involved. Sometimes we like to catch our breath. I do it too. We have this fire to put out or that fire to put out. We need to print something off for the next class. So on. Maybe there's a visitor and we want to chat with them a little bit before we go out. That's good. But let's go out. Let's go outside. I find for me, my relationships with my students, and again, I'm speaking from older ones' perspective, the relationships happen at recess. And in the classroom, we don't focus on relationships. We focus on teaching. But lunchtime and recess is just the best time to have that. You know, I can ask them a question in class. They, I don't have anything to say. And then recess time, they'll come to me and tell me. They didn't want to say it in front of everybody. Or we'll continue the conversation at recess time. So that's good. Relationships happen on the playground, so get out there. Be out there with them. The game is fun, most fun for everyone if we put our heart into it. I think that goes for teachers too. Students and teachers. I know one year I had students that didn't want to play. They just didn't want to play. They'd rather just sit around and visit all recess time. And then come back in. I was like, what? And this new generation, you know. Anyway, and that was just that class culture, I guess, or something. But I said, you must be, that year I said, you must be out in 3 minutes or four or something. You have to be. Get out there, do something. And of course, we can help with that and model that too. I say, and you probably agree with me, I don't think this is controversial, but don't tolerate a lot of sitting around. Playing King's Bass or just sitting there, visiting, fooling around, being silly, right? Get moving. If you need, if you can't get it moving, then tell them that the bass isn't safe anymore. The bass is only to reset, and you may get caught on bass. That'll get some action. And you might have to think through how that would all work exactly, but get moving. Maybe you should be like Brother Joseph and take some risks. Not because you know you can get away with it, but you know, it doesn't matter. Now, you can go too far and be known as the one who always gets caught because they don't just care. Like, they just don't care. Kind of like the first graders, you know, it means nothing to them. Just, you know, just party from base to base. No, but I think we can model that. Taking some risks, that happens. That's more fun that way. There's a place for us to simply supervise games. But I think it's the students will have the most fun if the teacher plays. and not simply supervisors or referees or whatever. Anything else about number two, getting involved? All right, number three, show enthusiasm for the game. And again, this is for both teachers and students. Get enthused. Play with passion. No matter what game it is. You know, your students shouldn't know which is your least favorite game. I think they ask me that sometimes, or have asked me. What's your favorite game? What's your least favorite game? Oh, you may know. Nope. There's something to learn in every sport. You know, if you try hard, you can learn tricks for King's Bass. You can learn things that work better, things that don't, teach how to serve a volleyball or whatever. There's something to learn, and it's fun when you can say, hey, if I do it this way, then it works this way, and it's fun. There's a lot of learning and using your head to play the game. Play with passion, and if no other reason to play this game, it's, what are you out for? Exercise, right? Exercise. So have enthusiasm, model enthusiasm, enforce it in them. Don't let them sit around. And if a game is wearing out, introduce variations just to make it different. How many of you know what knights are in single base or king's base? Okay, that's an interesting variation. If you have a certain number of, you make the number, a certain number of people on the team, if you have three people on every team, you could say once you get to five people on your team, you may have one knight that has power over everybody else automatically, all the time, unless it's another night. And they do not wear a label. So you do a lot of, oh man, should I touch you? It's just really fun. One thing they do sometimes at Fairhaven is they play single bass when there's fresh snow and play with snowballs. You can tag people with snowballs. And we use pylons for a bass, and you can get a touch by throwing a snowball and hitting the pylon. That makes another element. This year, for some reason, they don't want to do that. That's just fine. I don't mind. They're in charge of that. If you're playing kick the can, instead of always putting the ball or the can in the same spot, try a different one. There's different hiding places, new hiding places, and use your own creativity for that. But bottom line is show enthusiasm. Get out there and get involved and play energetically. All right. Any stories that you might have about times when you showed too much enthusiasm in a game that you would care to share? You ever struggle with that? I do. Well, that leads us to number four, keep your dignity. Now, this was maybe more toward teachers, students too. I had some students years ago, it was a family, sadly, that they were really big and tough. But boy, when they got hurt, I mean, it was the end of the world. They, not crying quite, but lots of grimaces and, you know, sitting off for a while. It's like, oh, come on, you know, be a man. And so when a girl from that family fell on the ice and just laid there helplessly, I skated over and said, get up. She didn't. And I said, get up. And she was unconscious. Okay. And she came to right then, and I don't think she heard me, so that was fine. Sometimes that happens. But, you know, students sometimes can let their emotions get out of control, and they need to learn how to keep their dignity. You know, playing passionately, we talk about having fun, put all your energy into it. It involves emotions, right? How many of you never raise your voice in a game? I shouldn't even ask that. We raise our voices, we shout, we cheer, you know, it just comes out, it comes boiling out. So it involves emotions, but we don't have to just dump out all our emotions and make a big mess, right? There's a point where we gotta keep our dignity. For example, you've been trying hard to score. You know, passing the puck around side to side, front to back, it goes to the other end, man, your goalie did a good block, you go back and you're trying, and then you finally sneak one in. How loudly do you cheer, right? It was a good move. It was perfect. I mean, you know, over-cheering. Well, frustration. Sometimes students like you to show some frustration if they are frustrating you. That's good. That means they're a good player. They're a better player than you are because they're frustrating you. And so there might be a place for good-natured frustration. Wow, every time I meet you, you take the puck away from me. Oh my, I wish I could play with you. That's their highest compliment, to be frustrated at them, good-naturedly. But if we spill out our emotions and frustration, it's not a good thing. Keep your dignity. Undue competition is another thing. Dear Brother Joseph here, he has a few things to learn. A teacher who can't lose cheerfully has some things to learn. We want to try. We don't eliminate competition. You can eliminate competition. You can stop keeping track of score, which sometimes happens. You can stop keeping score in baseball. It kind of takes some of the joy out of it. I don't do it very often. I have almost never done it. Only if it's undue competition. On the flip side, a good teacher will enjoy teaching his students his tricks or her tricks to help the students develop their skills to the point where they are better than we are. Right? We're not trying to retain them so that they don't get as good as I am. We do this, try this. All right, you did it better than I. They can skate faster. They can stick handle all over me. Now, this is over older ones, of course. Younger ones, well, they have some things to learn with stick handling. But other things, you know, we don't have to hold them back. Other emotions that we have to keep in control with to keep our dignity is anger, where we actually get angry on the playground. We will lose respect. Students may not get angry. If they get angry, they need to cool off. And that might include sitting on the sidelines or going inside. A sense of unfairness, whether it's, again, teachers or students. These teams aren't fair. Or, that wasn't a fair move. So on. We have to watch that. Teachers, pets, someone always gets to go first. Or someone never has to, actually. Maybe it's just a timid girl who you just don't have the heart to make her go off when she, you know, offended, and so you never do, right? It can be considered a teacher's pet. We should play different rules. Having different rules for yourself or for your team, right? Now, if you do it, it's wrong, but if I do it, and it can happen so quickly, so subconsciously, then it's right. We need to play energetically, but don't stoop to being silly or childish. You know, you tend to become like those you work with. So if you work with immature people, you can become immature like them. And so we have to be careful to not let our students' immaturity make us immature. I speak to myself. We need to temper our impulses. You know, when I was, first year I was teaching, I had some knowledge of school in recent time because I had been a student, of course. And one of the things we often like to do when we were playing a game, a running game, tagging game, we'd run up the teeter-totters and it would flip, we'd run down the other side, and it was just a perfect... Well, I was teacher now, halfway across the world, it felt like, and I was... Well, I had a little bit to show, you know, got to show that I can keep up. And so I went scooting up the teeter-totter like we always used to. Anyway, the teeter-totter was wet, it was more steep than I was used to, and I slipped. I landed on my tailbone, and I had a lot of pain. My students were very worried for me. I was significantly embarrassed, and I was whining to my mom about it on the phone, and she laughed. Maybe you shouldn't go up there. Temper your impulses. Accidents do happen. Embarrassing things happen. Pants split. Teachers fall squarely in the mud. It's okay, but let's not let it be a result of our own indiscretion. We have to be careful that we don't get too familiar with our students in recess time. It can happen. We let our guard down, and I think that's right. The playground is not the classroom. There is room for different behavior on the playground. An older brother told me one time, back in the day when he was in school, he remembered his teacher. This was public school. He would play as hard as anybody on the team outside. And oh, he enjoyed that. But when he went inside, he was Mr. I don't know what the name was. He was the teacher. He flipped the switch. And he said he always enjoyed that and respected him for that. And so I think that's something we can learn from, and I've tried to do. We still need to be in charge on the playground. We're still the teacher. We still need to be able to direct the game without the students challenging us. We're not quite equals. And for me, I teach the older ones, so I say quite. Some of you teach younger ones, you're not nearly equals. But you do let your hair down a little bit on the playground. But don't forget to turn the switch off when you get inside. And you're the teacher. And so on. All right, number 5. Be a good sport. I was blessed one year at a teacher's meeting. I was not particularly skilled with volleyball, and I was playing with some very skilled people. And every time the ball came to me, of course, I flubbed it, and I was a little nervous. And they kept saying, good try, good try. And that impacted me profoundly, and I have tried to teach my students to say that. Say good try. Constructive criticism in the heat of the moment is rarely perceived as being constructive. You should have. Yeah, I know. Next time. I know. Save your advice. Even as a teacher, there are times when we give a specific direction. We say, you know, we could try this or we could try that. But maybe don't do that right after someone has made that mistake. Maybe wait till the end of the game. Wait till you come in from recess and share your advice so that nobody feels publicly targeted by your explanation. Hide your frustration. Actually, you know what? Stroke that out. Don't get frustrated. Try not to. The game isn't that serious. Sometimes we try. We try really hard. Students do. But the game is not so serious that we have to get frustrated and angry. If you are frustrated, here's a tip for you. Start laughing hysterically and start over. All right. There was a dear student at our school. I heard this story. A grade 4 student who was supposed to be goalie. And he was nowhere around. The goal was open. And the opposing team came. I wasn't on the ice. I wasn't there to see it. And they scored. Oh, there was no goalie. Oh, so here comes the goalie, trucking down from the other end. And they said, "Where were you?" "Oh, I was being goalie at the wrong end." Oh, dear. Like, did you not see there were two? Anyway, you know, just let it go. It's not that important. Oh, my. Anyway, sometimes teams look unfair, and we want to say, "Oh, we gotta redo the teams. These teams, there's no hope, these teams." Well, maybe you could try it. Try it. Sometimes in volleyball, we play one game each. You know, if we have four different teams, we'll play one game each, and then we'll reset. But sometimes, so we each play three games, and then there's new teams, and then, but sometimes play each other team two times. Maybe as a team, you just need to learn to work together. And maybe you lost three games in a row, but by game four, you're learning to compensate for each other's weaknesses. And maybe you can lose, win game four or five. Or even if you win five and lose five and win the last one, that feels good because you worked. And you don't have to just reorganize the teams because they look slightly unfair. I mean, if it's obviously ridiculous, then that's fine. But there are lessons to be learned. We need to know boundaries. And I speak for older students here. We need to know, for everyone, we need to know where the physical boundaries of the game are, where you may not cross, where you may cross, where you may play, where you may not play. Getting caught when you go off bonds is a sure way to solve the wandering students. But on a more serious note, we need to observe proper physical boundaries, especially between older students. Older students and stronger students may not play in such a way that they intimidate others. They have to calm down. They have to slow down. Tagging, if we play a tagging game, tagging must be done in an appropriate way. We must restrain our style of playing so we're not constantly crashing into others all the time, be it volleyball or hockey or soccer or whatever. We cannot just throw ourselves around. We will not always catch the same boy or the same girl or only boys or only girls. We will spread that attention around. Our games, and this again goes for teachers and students, our games, while they're excellent activities to clear the mind, they are never become a way to express or to become too familiar or express flirtatious actions. We have to watch that. Number 7, don't overplay the game. We are playing for fun. We're not playing for money. Life will go on. Even if we lose this game, the world will continue rotating. We can model self-control in the playground. Yelling, screaming, shrieking, and so on. We can also teach children how to properly view their own mistakes by how we view our own mistakes. If I make a silly mistake, it's something I've been preaching and preaching and preaching, and then I go and do it, you know, laugh, apologize if you have to, whatever. But don't beat yourself up excessively. That's actually a demonstration of pride. What we're saying is, how could I, this accomplished and well-rounded player, make such a silly mistake? So it's kind of like pride. You know, our students make them all the time. And when I beat myself up really badly for something they do all the time, that just makes them feel worse. Can, anyway. We have to have self-control. I said that. Cheering too loudly, we talked about that already. We can make the other team or other people feel bad if we are cheering too loudly. Play with all you have, but not to the point where you lose respect. Of course, playing with younger ones will be different. Playing with older ones, you can play with all you have. Doesn't mean you have to use all your tricks in the bag for every student. You can, but you don't want to give them the idea that you're playing down to them. You're playing, they don't like that. They're too old for that. Playing way above their level, of course, can discourage them. And it's not the point. I did ask a student one time, we were playing spike ball, and I was serving, and I enjoy spike ball. And I caught on this year that I'm better than most of them. And so I was doing my serves and so on. And I sensed that I was maybe frustrating the other team a little bit. And I said, shall I slow down a bit? Would that make you feel like I don't want to frustrate you? And they said, no, I don't want you to play down. Just play with all you have. I have to learn. Okay, fair enough. It was a girl, and she just told me that. So that was good. We play to teach lessons. Recess is not primarily designed with a teacher in mind. It's mostly for the students. So teach them. Teach them your methods, your tricks. Encourage them, support them. When they develop better eye-hand coordination and you notice that they're doing better, tell them that. You are really doing better at volleyball after the first few weeks of school. And be happy with them if they can beat you. One thing I was going to say about modeling self-control is that I get quite involved in games and I hoot and holler and carry on. Anyway, one time this year, I had a student who was really hollering. I mean, really hollering. And I calmed down a bit. I said, I yell, but I don't yell that loud, do I? Almost. Okay. So I got to work on that. And then the other day I cheered really loudly and I said, oops, I shouldn't have cheered that loud. And another boy said, oh, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay, I don't know where to turn then, but anyway, in conclusion, there are many happy, beneficial times to be enjoyed on the playground. But let's remember to know what you're going to play, get involved wholeheartedly in the game, but restrain yourself so you don't lose respect. Learn the lessons that are available at recess time, be appropriate, and most of all, create an environment that everyone can enjoy, where everyone can enjoy themselves. If handled properly, recess can be a rewarding and refreshing time for both student and teacher.